This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. An ongoing relocation effort caused by climate change-fueled erosion has separated friends across 9 miles of river. But if there's one thing that unites them, it's their love of basketball. In Nutok and Moktovik, during a time when the COVID-19 pandemic has closed school gyms, kids are still finding a way to play the game they love. In Nutok, there's a basketball court made out of boardwalk, but there's no hoop. Kids say it fell down years ago. In this village, the ground is eroding and most of it is soft mud. Anything driven into it, like telephone poles and basketball hoops, tilts and falls over. That's left many kids without their favorite hobby.
I'm pretty bored. I want to play basketball right now.
Byron John says other years he would have more friends to hang out with. But that's changed since a phased relocation to Moktovik began last fall.
Lesser friends. Most of them went to other side.
Byron's taking matters into his own hands. He and a few of the friends he has left in Nutok plan to stand the fallen hoop back up. He pounds in a couple more nails to connect the hoop to the boardwalk. And within a few hours, the court draws in over a dozen kids, transforming it from a barren platform into a stage for giggles and memories. In Moktovik, there's no boardwalk basketball court, but of course, kids still play the game.
I've been making a shot from the basketballs.
11-year-old Johnny Carl says he and the neighborhood kids play a lot.
Yeah, every day.
In Moktovik, they play on a portable basketball hoop that someone bought and put next to their house. It's not the prettiest hoop.
The net is missing and the rim is kind of wiggly.
But Johnny says it doesn't matter that it's a little bit broken.
The basketball court is beautiful, like full of golds.
Why do you think it's beautiful?
Because it's my favorite game.
Johnny says his hook shot is his deadliest weapon and that he's the best 11-year-old basketball player in Moktovik. He says he hopes his school is built soon with an indoor court, but he's also happy with the one he's got now, as long as he gets to play the game he loves. Reporting for KYUK in Moktovik, I'm Greg Kim. The Nutok Village Council invited KYUK to see how its relocation efforts are going. Before traveling, KYUK reporters consulted with medical professionals and received negative COVID-19 test results. While in the village, reporters wore masks when invited into people's homes. Next, in fishing. With king salmon having largely reached their spawning grounds, gillnet restrictions on the Kuskokwim are lifting. Several gillnet restrictions on the Kuskokwim River main stem will lift tonight at midnight. That means starting tomorrow, August 1st, subsistence gillnets can be any size mesh and can stretch 300 feet in length above and below the Johnson River, from the Kuskokwim River mouth to the headwaters. Also, the closed waters around the Aniak River, known as the Aniak Box, will open to gillnets. At the end of August, more fishing restrictions will loosen. On August 31st, gillnet restrictions and live release requirements for king salmon will lift in many Kuskokwim River tributaries. Continuing in subsistence, managers will open the Mulchotna caribou hunt on state and federal lands this August. That's despite a steep drop in the herd's population in recent years. To participate, hunters must possess an RC-503 permit, and they must submit their harvest report within 5 days of bagging an animal. Todd Rinaldi is a Region 4 Management Coordinator for Fish and Game. He says federal and state managers are opening the hunt because they want to provide subsistence opportunities to residents.
We were concerned while this pandemic is ongoing and there are some difficulties that folks are facing, we wanted to be able to provide some food resources and some opportunity to harvest caribou out there this fall while still keeping an eye on conservation of the herd and trying to grow that herd.
The hunt opens at 12 a.m. on August 1st and closes at 11:59 p.m. on September 20th. The Federal Subsistence Board says there will be no winter hunt. The bag limit is one bull, but the Subsistence Board says that to allow for herd growth, hunters must avoid harvesting any cows. The Mulchotna herd's western range includes Bristol Bay and the Kuskokwim River area. Biologists recorded around 13,500 caribou during surveys this summer, on par with last year's estimates. That's about half of what it was 5 years ago, and less than half of the state's minimum population objective of 30,000 animals. The drastic reduction in the herd's numbers prompted both state and federal managers to close last season early. Although the population is around the same size this year, managers felt comfortable opening the hunt in a limited capacity. Rinaldi says that's based on historic estimates.
Even though the bulk of the herd may be in a specific area, there are still satellite groups that are found throughout the range, usually splinter groups of a handful of number of animals. And when we went out to do our photo census this year, it was the top priority was to locate the satellite groups to cover the range of the Mulchatna caribou herd to an extent that we can confirm or dismiss last year's population census estimate.
Rinaldi also says it's important for hunters to submit harvest reports as soon as possible.
And that's information that the department needs to manage efficiently and effectively the Mulchatna caribou herd. For those that are successful in taking a bull caribou this fall, we request that they report their take to the department within 5 days of success. Because if we still want to be able to provide a sustainable food resource for folks out there, we're going to have to take management steps.
Some of those management steps include determining if herds are eligible for a season and what harvest limits are necessary. If hunters get a permit but do not go hunting or harvest an animal, they should still return a hunting report within 15 days of the close of the season. And finally, help is coming to the 538 Bethel businesses hurt in the pandemic. It's $1 million in CARES Act funding from the city, but the businesses will have to act fast. Michelle DeWitt with the Bethel Community Services Foundation, which is managing the grants, says a deadline for application is August 10th.
Businesses shouldn't delay. They have till that August 10th at 5 p.m. deadline, but if you've been harmed, if you need to make some modifications to your business to respond to the pandemic, apply for the money. This is how the money was intended to be used, and we want to get it out into the community.
The grants are not competitive. If a business qualifies, DeWitt says they will get it. The amount of the grant is based on the size of the business.
A business, for example, that had gross revenue of $5,000 to $24,999 would be eligible for a grant of $1,500. And those tiers increased by steps all the way up to a business that would have gross revenue of $500,000 and above, which would be a grant of $25,000.
There's a lot of leeway in how the businesses in Bethel can use the money. DeWitt says they have designed a grant program with a minimum amount of paperwork. Businesses are not being asked to provide paperwork on how they spend the money, but DeWitt says they do need to keep records.
Every business will not be required to submit a report at the end, but every business should be ready to prove, if asked, how the funds were used.
Information about the grant program can be found on Bethel Community Service Foundation's website and the city's website. If local businesses have questions, they can contact Kate McWilliams at the Community Foundation's office at 543-1812 or email her at covidbusiness@bcsfoundation.org. Again, the deadline for application for this aid for local businesses is August 10th at 5 p.m. Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news, tips, and comments to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.